Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're joined by two members of the United Way of Northeast Kentucky, which is over in Ashland, if you did not know. And they've been doing business since 1936. Didn't know that either. Jerry Compton, who's the executive director, and Nadia Alley, who is the 211 coordinator. And welcome to both of you. Glad you could come over and join us today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to have you, Nadia, move up a little bit closer to the microphone. Sure. But I guess a lot of people see the commercials, Jerry, on TV about the United Way. The NFL is really good during its broadcasts about running commercials that feature the United Way, but many people don't know exactly what the United Way is and what it does, if you'd explain.
Yeah, you're right. The NFL has had a wonderful partnership with the United Way for a long time. So one of the things that I often tell people anytime I'm talking about United Way is that United Way has a global presence and has been around for 130 years. Started off as a fundraising organization within local communities. It actually started off as under the concept of the community chest. If you've ever played Monopoly and gotten that community chest card.
I still don't know what that is, and I never learned what to do with that card.
Well, you're gonna learn today, because basically community chests were a way for, as the industrialization of, I think, our nation started to expand west and our nation started to grow back in the late 1800s, obviously any place that you have cities and towns starting to pop up, you start to have people that are coming there to be the tycoons of the industry, and then you start to have the workers and the people that start to migrate there to look for jobs. So you start having discrepancies in incomes and income levels and that good old class system, you know, that just will always exist. And so you would have people starting to go to those towns for work, and maybe they found work and maybe they didn't, or maybe they were looking for something better. So as cities and towns started to grow throughout our nation, you would have people that needed stuff, and you would have some people that weren't doing so well. Maybe they were sick or they were elderly, and they needed some assistance. And so organizations like the Salvation Army and the American Red Cross were formed and started assisting some of these individuals. And then you had local charities and churches and things like that that started to help. Well, obviously any of those places need money, and, you know, those people are going to be providing the services, but how do they get out there and get the money? Well, that's where community chests started coming in. So those local tycoons and businessmen, for the most part, would get together and say, okay, we're doing well for ourselves. Let's throw some money in the chest, for our community, and, you know, give that to the local charities so that they can do the work that they need to do. Those models, those community chest models, really started to become popular throughout the nation. And just started to spring up throughout local communities everywhere. Then one particular one in Denver, Colorado, decided, you know, Chuck, we're doing well for ourselves, and we've been given to this chest, but you've got 50 people that work for you, and you're giving them a pretty good wage. Do you think they would want to put into the chest as well? And do you think that maybe you could just deduct that from their pay just a little bit of time? That way it doesn't make a big impact on a person. I'm not asking you to give me $50 or, you know, anything right now, but you could give me $50 throughout the year by just doing a little deduction from your payroll each time. And that was the community chest that was in Denver, Colorado. They decided to give themselves a name. They called themselves United Way. And they became the first model for that employee giving. And that model became pretty appealing to the other community chests, who started adopting the same moniker of United Way. And throughout the years, United Way became a membership organization. And I think that's always the biggest thing that we try to enforce, is that United Way is still a membership organization, United Way Worldwide. So the 1,400 partners, local United Ways around the world, including United Way of Northeast Kentucky, are members of United Way Worldwide. That allows us to use that United Way brand and name. We could go back to being the community chest, but having that United Way partnership allows us to utilize things like the NFL and other global partners and corporate partners that do United Way-specific campaigns and do those employee-giving campaigns. And, you know, it's much easier to knock on the door of somebody who's doing a United Way campaign and say, hi, we're the United Way. We want to, you know, we want to partner.
Because they've seen the commercials.
Yeah, and than it is to go in there and and be another nonprofit or go back to being that community chest. It gives us a global partnership, a global presence, and that's how we get to utilize some global partners like Marathon or national partners like AK Steel and places like that. It gives us that connection and that globally recognized brand.
Well, who you serve is the thing that I think people need to understand. From what I've read about your organization over in Ashland, it's a volunteer-based organization and works with 65 partner agencies.
Yeah, that's correct. And we really much more now. You know, we provide funding to – so we do fundraising throughout the year. We work with all of our local businesses and partners throughout the community that wish to give or wish to provide volunteer efforts. You know, right now we've got one of our organizations, actually as we speak, that is being kind of taken over by the AT&T call center that's off the Industrial Parkway there in sort of Grayson area. And they have a group of volunteers that are out there just doing a variety of things at that nonprofit. And so we help to arrange volunteer opportunities, but we also are doing those fundraising. And again, it goes back to a similar model that it always was. We're fundraising to try to bring local programs and sustain local programs throughout the five-county area that we serve.
I was going to say, it's not just – we mentioned you are in Ashland, but it's not just about serving Ashland.
No, we cover Boyd, Greenup, Carter, Elliott, and Lawrence County in Kentucky.
So a lot of people get helped.
Yeah, absolutely. It's obviously it's a large territory to spread those dollars out, you know, throughout. But if we raise money in a county, so for example, if we're raising money in Carter County with a group like Smithfield, you know, or the First National Bank of Grayson, those monies are going to stay in Carter County, and we're going to use those toward organizations and programs that we're helping to support in Carter County.
I'm dying to ask this question, Nadia, because I know what Jerry does as executive director, but you're the 211 coordinator. And I know what 411 is, but I don't know what 211 is, and I'm hoping you'll explain.
Well, I'm glad you know what 411 is, but, you know, and most people I would like to think know what 911 is. But so 211 is kind of the bulk of it is a resource database. So essentially, it kind of has three parts to it. The first part is gathering agency information, public service agencies mostly. Things, you know, any public service that an agency provides, we want to get that listed on the 211 directory. I go in and maintain the database. That's a huge core of my job at United Way. This database it's not like a paper database where, a paper resource where, you know, as soon as you print it, it goes out of date. So the beautiful thing about this is I get to maintain it as resources change.
So are you out there then looking for potential partners for your agency and maybe just keeping track of all that stuff? Am I reading this right?
Well, that's part of it. But the beautiful thing about 211 is any agency, it doesn't have to be partnered with United Way. Any community service, any church, even an individual who is doing, you know, some sort of nonprofit or public service, can get their service and their organization or themselves listed on this directory. And, you know, that goes into the second part of 211. It is a toll-free number that you can dial from any landline or cell phone. It's just 211. And it's basically, you call 911 for emergency and critical assistance. Just about for every other human need and service, you would call 211. And so this is, it's a toll-free call available 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
So if I call 211, what types of services could I possibly access? Say I need help, you know, or whatever, but what would you tell me?
Anything from, you know, if you find yourself suddenly, you know, your circumstances change or, you know, you lose a job or something, you can't pay your rent. And so, you know, unfortunately these things happen and all of a sudden you're looking for a place to stay for the night because you're getting evicted. And in addition to that, you're looking to secure maybe a meal or two. where would you go? Where is the nearest shelter? Where is the nearest place that can give you a hot meal? Not everyone knows where the closest resource is to them. So you could call 211 or you could text them 898-211, and you can text your zip code to them. You can also access the service online, or we have an app to do that. So there's many ways to reach 211, but essentially you could talk to a 211 navigator who sounds a lot better than I do now. You'll have to forgive me, Chuck. I am getting over this weird chest cold
thing.
She's
been sick all week.
It's going around.
We appreciate the fact you're in here playing hurt. So.
Oh, mm-hmm. No problem. It's a great cause. But, yeah, so.
That's a unique service. I'm quite frankly, rather, I've not been familiar with it until you mentioned it. I've never heard of it. But it's a great resource.
It is, and 211 is a national program. It's definitely accredited and maintained on a national level. It's funny because most states of the United States have full 211 coverage. Kentucky is one of the few states that is very behind on 211 coverage. I think with our soon-to-be-covered area, northeastern Kentucky, I think that'll make 5 211 programs. Don't quote me on that. I could be mistaken, but I mean, we're kind of behind, and we've needed something like this for a very long time.
Well, how do we expand this? I mean, obviously, there's some gaps in the program around the Commonwealth, and people do need these services probably in those areas where there are gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's really interesting, Chuck, is I've lived in the Ashland area now for 20 years. And as a social worker, you know, I will say type individual in the social services world throughout my 20 years working with the community, I have worked with interagency councils and nonprofits throughout those 20 years. And I've never not seen a year go by that community groups and nonprofits have tried to get together and say, how do we create a community resource guide? Nobody knows who to call to get what. You know, we've got individuals who are calling to try to get their utility bills paid or try to get, you know, assistance with rent or find housing or help with their kids for school or help with an elderly parent who's trying to get to, you know, chemotherapy appointments. I mean, just a number of things. And nobody knows where to call.
Exactly. I don't mean to interrupt, but
yeah.
We all seem to run across people who will come to us from time to time. And I know some of our local governmental officials will get those types of calls.
Absolutely.
You know, my car is broken down. I'm not from here. Like you say, I've just become homeless. You know,
yep.
I've just been evicted from my residence of some kind. You know, I need to find some school supplies, but I don't have the means to pay for them. And even the governmental agencies many times are limited as to what they know about accessing the needed resources.
Well, Chuck, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's really difficult for any one individual to kind of know exactly all the services that your community offers. So, I mean, it's just a great tool to kind of collect and collaborate with the community, find out what these resources are, and put them in a one-stop shop sort of package. And the great thing about this, I think I mentioned it. It doesn't really go out of date, but I mean, anything from, you know, we have listings and programs that our local police departments are doing, you know, a safe place for people who are exchanging items or making purchases off of Craigslist. You know, a lot of times you don't know if these people are, you know, the kind of people who you want to invite to your home or, you know, private association with or anything like that. So, you know, a safe place like that. And it's not just, you know, food and shelter and clothing. It's anything that essentially what I said earlier, any non-critical, non-urgent human need, whether it is your basic necessities of food, clothing, shelter, or it can be, you know, worried about a family member or relative who's going through some mentally troubling times or traumatic times. And then, you know, all of those resources as well, because you don't always know or, you know, want to make public some of these things. And so It's just a great resource for anyone to use, not just, you know, a certain crowd or demographic.
Yeah, I hope that we can fill all the gaps in the state regarding 211 information, because it sounds like you have hundreds of resources on your database.
We are definitely working on getting a lot more resources. It is time consuming. You know, I do have, and I have been going out into the community and kind of finding all of these resources, whether it's a church or, you know, some sort of an individual who's doing these services. And I'm also constantly hearing about new services and things like that. So as I hear and find out more about this, I am putting it in the database. Just, you know, I mean, these groups and organizations are trying to help their community. And 211 is a way to kind of help all of these agencies and public services serve their community better.
So you have to do some legwork and some detective work, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Always. Every day.
If I could say, you know, right now, we don't have 211 on just yet. We're in testing phases, I should say that. So if anyone were to call in the five-county area, they may get through it, but we're in that testing phase. So right now we're working the bugs out of it. But, you know, we will be launching it officially most likely within the next 30 days. I have no issues with somebody trying to call it right now, as long as they understand it may get through right now and it might not, because we are in that testing phase right now. But within the next 30 days, I feel pretty confident and comfortable that people should be getting through. There's a lot of technology involved, and I call it the magic in the air that I don't quite understand. But
do you plan to go out and perhaps advertise this service so more people know about it? Because obviously I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're working with, you know, one of the great things is that when this need started to become identified more and more, again, I've watched community groups and nonprofits over the years develop resource guides and things like that. It's like, oh, well, let's get together and you know, develop a printed resource guide. Well, that is outdated the moment it's printed. And who maintains it? Who keeps it up? Because you might have a nonprofit that's offering a hot meal on Tuesday evenings. But then they've ran out of money and they can't do that anymore. Or maybe they've decided to offer it now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And those things change constantly. So who maintains that? And it's real hard to maintain that on paper. So, you know, the great thing about this is it's a living organic database. And, you know, we have a person right now that's Nadia, who is out there maintaining it. And the nonprofits, there's a relationship there. That we're continuing to build to say, if you have a change, contact us and let us know. We can change that in a database. They can actually set up an account in the database themselves and make some changes. So that's one of the great things that I think exists about it, is that it's a living organic document, so to speak. But the thing is, it's answering a community call, because for years that's been an issue. And I was actually a part of the Healthy Choices, Healthy Communities Health Coalition that exists covering Boyd, Greenup, Carter County. And it was an identified issue throughout our health coalition as we did a strategic plan and such. And we said, okay, well, we've got this 211 program that we could actually bring to the state, and we're wanting to. And some of our partners in that coalition actually got on board. We've received $25,000 from the Bon Secours Health Foundation that covers Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital. To help with this initiative. We also received $60,000 from an anonymous grant, and it's helping to, you know, to build and implement and sustain this program. So we're still in that building phase right now. You know, we would probably ask for a little public patience right now, in the sense of, you know, Nadia's plugging away, but we're really trying to find and squirrel into every part of the community that we can to find, if you offer a hot meal to somebody, if you offer shoes to people, you know, on the weekend, I mean, anything that you offer, we want you in the database. Mm-hmm. So that when that first person calls and they're looking for shoes or they're looking for that hot meal in your area, they know about it and we can direct them to that.
Right.
We're on the front page today. Again, we're joined by Jerry Compton and Nadia Alley from the United Way of Northeast Kentucky. We'll come back with a few more minutes of the program right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony Weaver with good news for our Health Matters fans. We will be on the air for another week. WMKY station manager Paul Hitchcock has abandoned his plan to repeal and replace Health Matters because there's simply nothing else this stupid on the air. Join us this weekend for the Repeal and Replace show and ask your political advisor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
We welcome you back to today's front page. Jerry Compton and Nadia Alley from the United Way of Northeast Kentucky in Ashland joining us today. They serve Boyd, Carter, Elliott, Lawrence, and Greenup counties. And the one thing, Jerry, I will say is that I know that the businesses in your area and the folks in your area who donate to the United Way have been extremely generous. I've seen the articles about the money that you've been able to raise privately to help your organization, and it always impresses me the support you get.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You may have just seen we received $145,000 from a golf tournament alone that Marathon Petroleum hosts every year, and that tournament has just grown and grown. In fact, this year was their 13th year of doing that tournament for United Way of Northeast Kentucky, and they it blows my mind. They added an additional session, so now they have three scramble rounds over a day and a half. They have a lot of contractors that come in from out of state and sponsor teams and play in the golf tournament. And it's a really beautiful day. The Marathon Marine Terminal also added a golf tournament last year. They had their first one. They had their second one this year out at the golf course there in Grayson. And I always forget the name of that course. But it was just their support is amazing. But they presented us the refinery presented us with $145,000, and that was just from the golf tournament. That's not what their employees will give, and their employees gave upwards of $90,000 last year.
Amazing. Well, how much money do you raise privately a year? Because I know it's a pretty significant sum.
It is. Last year we raised right around $670,000. We had a couple of years where we had a little bit of a downturn. We had a little downturn in the economy in the Ashland area, you know, in our Northeast Kentucky area. And when the economy turns down and jobs get lost, there goes a lot of our revenue stream. So that can be a difficult time for us as well. You know, interestingly, as of course jobs and the economy goes down, needs go up. But, you know, we've continued to strive on. A couple of years ago, we had a campaign that was down to 500,000. But, you know, last year we started chugging along strong because of the support of organizations like Marathon. KDMC came up. They were up $20,000 last year. King's Daughters was in their campaign. I mean, we have a really supportive community. People love the community and really want to give back to it. And it's just we're fortunate that they see United Way as the vehicle to be able to do that.
We have just over a minute left to go on the program, but when we talk about, say, $670,000, it is a significant amount of money, but at the same time, with all the various organizations that you support in a five-county mm-hmm. area, I imagine you need every single penny of it.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons that it's so important, you know, for us to always stress that when you give, you know, that United Way, when you're giving to United Way, you're giving local. Only right around a penny out of every dollar actually leaves our community to support our membership to United Way and allow us to be a United Way. But without that type of support, we wouldn't be able to look at gaps in the community and areas where there's a service needed here like 211 and be able to bring that. You know, we're out there fundraising so that we can not only support programs that have been in existence in our community for years, but also here's a program that's been needed for years and actually helps all of our nonprofits in being able to have callers and individuals pointed in the right direction and the right resources.
What's the phone number over there at your office in Ashland in case people would like to call and maybe they'd like to make a donation? Maybe they have a question about something. Maybe mm-hmm. they'd like to talk to Nadia because she's a very pleasant person to talk to.
Thank you.
Maybe they'd like some more information about 211.
Yeah, our number is 606-325-1810.
All right. Yeah. Jerry, Nadia, thanks so much for joining us today on the Front Page. We appreciate you coming over.
Thanks, Chuck.
For having us, Chuck.
Jerry Compton and Nadia Alley from the United Way of Northeast Kentucky over in Ashland. They've been there since 1936. I'm Chuck Mraz, your host of the Front Page. We'll see you next time.